Hello, everybody. This is Chris from the DubDDub Review. Before we start today's show, I wanted to briefly talk about the Patreon page for the DubDDub Review podcast. So when we launched the Patreon page, we weren't sure what kind of reception we were going to get from everybody, or frankly, what kind of content we were going to put on the Patreon page. And I am honored to say we are completely humbled and we're awestruck at the reception that we've received from having the Patreon page and account. I would tell you more about the tiers of what you can earn, and I promise you it's worth your time from being on the show, stickers, mugs, shirts, all that good stuff. But really, the coolest part about that is the off-the-cuff podcasts that occur. And these aren't podcasts that would occur in the regular Dubs podcast feed. These are Patreon exclusive. And it's really been really enjoyable. We've had about 5 episodes so far, and we're putting them out 1 per month, and we have plans for more. And they're like episodes like we talked about the giant brawl at Disneyland in full detail. We did a complete interview with Stacey Nyman, everything about Stacey you'll ever want to know. It is really cool how we can put this together, and it's really a tight community it's going out to, so the conversations are really frank and open and honest, things you won't hear on the regular show. So if you're interested in all, it's very inexpensive to join, or whatever you want to donate, we'd be more than happy, and we're more than honored you'd even consider it. So again, it's patreon.com/thedubs. Thank you. Hello, welcome to the DubDDub Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik. And I'm joined by our special guest co-host today, Kristen Wahlbeezer. Kristen, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Kristen, I'm glad you can join me today, because the conversation is going to go from A to Z, and definitely to places not expected. But first things first, when the show hits, Hurricane Dorian is going to be nothing but a memory.
Right.
But you're a Floridian, so tell me, and I'm not asking you for like, what do you do to prep? What was your first thought when you saw this coming, and then when it stalls out and now potentially going to miss Florida? Like, what is your thought? Are you even affected by this anymore?
So I'm a native Floridian. I was born in Central Florida.
Okay.
I've been through numerous hurricanes. So I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, oh, another hurricane. Okay.
Ho-hum. Right?
We definitely, I mean, you know, you have to take it seriously. You have to prepare. But I'm also not, like, going crazy.
You know, I wondered that, because I live in the north, so we get sometimes snowstorms that are 6 inches, and then we get, like, a foot or you know, 18 inches of snow, and we take it in stride. It's no big deal. We're not looking for any kind of special resources, and when we get it, we're like, okay, we'll tackle it. Let's get the snowblower gassed up, and we're good to go.
Exactly.
So I imagine it's the same thing. It's like, no, this is not going to be the apocalypse, though it is very serious. And if it did make landfall, it could be different. But this one, I imagine most Floridians would be like, yeah, bring it on. We're good.
Like, and, you know, obviously the Bahamas has just been, like, battered by this storm. And it's, you know, it's a powerful storm. It's definitely one that you do take seriously, because it is so strong and so slow.
Yeah.
The landfall that it does hit, it affects it a lot. But yeah, I think down here, you know, we're just kind of, if you've been through a lot of hurricanes, you know what to expect usually.
Okay.
And once we get to tropical storm levels, I mean, I've been to Disney in a tropical storm. It's fine.
You target Disney in tropical storms just because of the tourist factor. So
needs to go. It's empty.
And we don't mean to make light of the Bahamas' fate, because right now, you're right. This thing is just sitting over the Grand Bahamas Island, and it's just sitting. So the infrastructure in the Bahamas is not great for, like, emergency preparedness. And I'm not saying, but like their infrastructure is not the same. So it is wreaking havoc, but in Florida it's different. So
right, like, we're very lucky here in Florida that it did turn. Mm-hmm. definitely thinking of the Bahamas and how they'll have to kind of rebuild their lives over there because of just how severe the storm is. And the fact that all last night we were waiting for it to move, and the news we're watching, and it just says it's stationary. It's not moving at all.
No wind. Okay, so let's get to a different part of the show here. So if you've not joined us before, or you're not familiar with who Kristen is, Kristen's been on the show a few times, and she is an author, and I'm going to let you, you know, talk about your books, please, and let them know the titles. But this show is going to talk about everything from theme parks to favorite lands to the books to an unexpected change in your life recently. And so, you know, without like actually getting into the end of the show right now, please let everyone know, you know, what you do and who you are, Kristen.
All right. So me, like you said, I'm an author. The first book I wrote was actually, I was the co-author of Stories from the Magic Kingdom, which we've talked about on the show before, which I co-wrote with Patrick Kling. And that came out last May, which I can't believe it's been that long now. Which is a novel that has six short stories about the Magic Kingdom. And then after that, I went on to write and illustrate two children's books, both about Princess Audrey. The first one is called The Story of Princess Audrey, and the second one is Princess Audrey Saves the Prince, which the main character is, of course, Princess Audrey, and she uses a wheelchair, I was inspired to write that after being diagnosed with something called postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. POTS is the easier way to say it.
Okay.
But after my diagnosis, if I wanted to go to the theme parks or anywhere that required a longer distance, I needed to use a wheelchair. And after having to use a wheelchair for the first time, it kind of dawned on me that kids that have disabilities like really aren't represented in fairy tales very much. Like maybe a background character at most. So I really wanted to bring that to light and not just give kids with disabilities someone that they can relate to, but also to kind of teach kids without disabilities that they're all the same. Like everyone's the same. Audrey can do anything. Her wheelchair doesn't change the fact that she's a princess and that she can save the day. So those are my books. Those are my stories.
Awesome. So you're making it not sound as cool as it really is. So I'm going to go and I'm going to further talk about it, even with you here. So first off, Stories for the Magic Kingdom is really cool in the sense that it takes the lands of the Magic Kingdom, and you've created stories based on, you know, the themes of rides and the themes of the lands, and you've made your own, I'm going to put quotes, imagineering stories with these lands, and it really caught me. I ran through two or three stories before I even realized I was like 60 pages into the book. So it's a really good book, and it was co-authored. And then we started talking, and the first time I met you, or the first time we started talking, you revealed that you had POTS, and I didn't know what POTS was until I did a little bit of research on it.
Right.
And it's and this is the surprising thing that I took from the first conversation is if you've not followed Kristen on social media before, Kristen takes pictures, and they're fabulous pictures of the park. I mean, the way you take pictures, you look like you have practiced that a million times. And the way that I take pictures, I literally look like a swamp beast and an ogre, and I can't even come close to making my pictures look as good as you do. But you would never suspect that you have something that is debilitating as POTS. So when you revealed to us that you had it, I was like, whoa. Like, and Kristen, if I could just, I mean, you're in your mid to late 20s right now, so right. It can happen to anybody, but like, what is POTS exactly if you're listening and you don't understand what that is?
So POTS is an autonomic condition, which basically means that things that your body is supposed to regulate normally, it doesn't. And for me, that mostly pertains to my heart rate and blood pressure.
Okay.
So my heart rate, you know, for no reason at all, can just jump up to the 200s And meanwhile, my blood pressure is just dropping out, and that causes me to faint. So they kind of call POTS like a fainting disorder because you tend to faint or near faint quite often.
Okay.
And there's also the other symptoms that go along with it, like chronic pain, temperature regulation. There's definitely a lot that goes with it. But the main thing is definitely the heart rate and fainting. So that's really why I need a wheelchair when I go to the parks, because, you know, my heart rate can be 185 just by brushing my hair, let alone walking through Disney World.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want is to faint in the middle of Disney, because nobody wants that.
No one wants that, especially you. So, yeah. So, you know, actually, we should probably just go right into, like, the second part of the show. But before we do, you also mentioned the first time that one of the symptoms of POTS that you were having, if I wrote this correctly, was it almost felt like a depression for you. You couldn't get out of bed. You were having days where you just didn't know what was wrong, and something just wasn't quite right. Do I remember that correctly, Kristen?
So one of the biggest problems with POTS is there's not that much research out there on it.
Okay.
A lot of doctors don't even know that much about it. I had to go through numerous cardiologists until I could actually find one that not only knew what it was, but kind of knew things that could help treat me. So for 4 years, I went undiagnosed, which is actually really common for POTS. Like, I think the average is like 6 years before you actually get a diagnosis. And so that time is just me sitting here thinking, something's wrong with me, but nobody knows what it is. And that's another frustration in itself. But then once I did get diagnosed, my first doctor kind of just told me, okay, this is your diagnosis. Good luck. And so it kind of took a really long time to figure out, okay, I know what's wrong with me now, which is great. But I still don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, seriously. What terrible advice for the doctor. Okay, so you have this condition. It's going to affect you for the rest of your life. And I'll see you in 6 months. You know, what?
And I went to another doctor. And I'm also very lucky that, well, I mean, I guess not lucky, but my cousin also has POTS, which is really crazy that both of us have it.
Ooh, is it genetic at all, Kristen?
No one knows.
Okay.
There hasn't been enough research on it to, like, determine if it's a genetic thing or if it's, I mean, it's a crazy coincidence if it's not genetic.
Yeah.
But so she was a really big help too, and we would kind of, like, figure things out together, which I was really lucky to have that, like, support from someone else who understands it. But so we finally figured out, like, treatment plans. Like, I have to wear compression socks every day. And another thing is, like, I have to intake crazy high amounts of salt, which, I mean, it's not terrible. I get to eat lots of popcorn and
pretzels. Okay.
What
is that for? Is that's too, like, the salt would make me think you were going to retain the water, but the compression socks are to make sure that your water's not building up in your feet and legs? Is that like a balance issue thing going on there?
Yeah, so the salt is to kind of, because I have such low blood pressure.
Okay.
It's to help boost that up, which is, most people have the opposite problem. They have to, like, limit their salt for their blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the compression socks are because when you have POTS, your blood tends to, like, pool in your lower extremities, which is why you're not getting enough throughout the rest of your body. So the compression socks kind of help, just kind of help things stay where they need to stay.
Okay. So at this point then, let's talk about something else. I was going to have you answer some rapid fire questions, but we'll do that afterwards.
Okay.
So I want to set the table for you, if you don't mind, and then I'm going to give you the ball because just recently, you became an unexpected viral incident, but for all the right reasons, but again, completely unexpected. So here you are. You're on a trip to Walt Disney World, right? You're visiting Galaxy's Edge. You're super excited. You've dressed the part. You've got a copy of your book, and you know, part of what we do, if you create a Disney-based product. When you go to the parks, it's 90% because you're a fan and you want to be there. And then 10% is you need to go and also show like almost like a marketing opportunity of yourself in a land. And so you're there at Galaxy's Edge. You're as cute as a button. You're ready to roll. You're in your wheelchair, though, because it's a long trip. And you don't want to fall flat on your face. I mean, I completely get that, right? And then this is where life takes an unexpected spin. So what's going on then?
So, yes. So I was at Disney and just, you know, enjoying the day, taking pictures. And I don't like taking a lot of pictures in my wheelchair. Not that I'm ashamed of it or anything, but for me, I don't have that many pictures in my wheelchair. If you look through my Instagram, you'll notice that. So I was like, you know, my friend that I was with was like, you know, why not take one in your wheelchair? Like, you know, with your book, like, she's like, I think that would be really cute and like resonate with like a lot of kids. And I was like, yeah, okay. So we took that picture. It was great. And then I was like, okay, now I want my picture of like just me in front of the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. Cause obviously,
because dang it, I want that picture. I got you. Okay.
And so then I stood up and I was taking pictures. And that was great. But the actual incident that happened actually took place over at Epcot. I just used the pictures in front of Galaxy's Edge because, like I said, that's really the only picture I have in my wheelchair.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
So I was at Epcot. For my birthday, seeing Plain White Tees perform because they have been my favorite my entire life, and I love them. And so it was right after the concert. I stood up because I was taking a picture of like me in front of the stage. It's the Plain White Tees, and as someone said to me, "Oh, the wheelchair is a hoax." Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was just kind of like, "Okay, like." I had just seen my favorite band. It was my birthday. I was not going to let that person, like, ruin the rest of my day. Mm-hmm. So I just, like, moved on, continued on. I was like, okay, and that was a rude comment, but I'm not going to, like, get into it in the middle of Disney.
Was it someone behind you, a row or two behind you, close by, or, like where did it come from?
Yeah, they were close by. The theater, that the concert was at was starting to clear out, so people were kind of like meandering around.
Okay.
And we were just waiting until it cleared more because wheelchairs are very hard to navigate at Disney, especially when you're going up ramps and things like that. So I told my friend that I was with, I was like, let's just hang back a minute, like wait for the crowd to clear before we try and get up this little ramp and end up running people over. Mm-hmm. So we were just waiting, and I guess I was like, well, while we're waiting, I'll take a picture. And I guess just someone who was leaving the theater at the time decided to say that. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. But it, like, I kept thinking about it, like, more and more. And so then I got home and I was like, oh, you know, I kind of want to share this experience because, honestly, when you're using a wheelchair or a handicap pass or anything, and you don't have anything visibly wrong with you that people can see, that is your, like, biggest fear, that someone is going to come up and say something to you.
Including people with, like, electric, vehicles, the little strollers and whatnot. You know what? People look at them really quick with judgy eyes, you know, to say, yeah, do you really deserve that, almost in a way, you know?
Exactly. And, like, that was definitely, you know, this is the first time someone said that to me, but, like you said, it's the judgy looks you get. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that numerous times. So I was like, you know what, this needs to be said. I have, you know, I've met some incredible people through social media that, like, have invisible illnesses as well. So I was like, I bet they can relate to this too. So I just posted it on my social media, and, you know, at first, like, friends and family are commenting and are, like, super supportive, and it's awesome. And then I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, my friends are sharing it. Like, that's sweet. And then I go to bed, and then I wake up, and, like, it's blown up, and thousands of people have shared it, and I'm like, what is going on? What is happening?
And you were just trying to, like put out a good, positive message, and you know what? It's not, people always say this, oh, it goes viral. It went viral. I mean, it really did. So how many times was it shared roughly in the last time you checked?
The last time I checked, I think it's been shared about 40,000 times.
40,000 times. How many likes in that post?
Oh my gosh, like 60,000, which is absolutely ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but like, what's the cool factor? It's not the likes and shares. That's all. That doesn't mean anything. What is the cool factor of this whole thing for you?
The best thing for me, honestly, has been that people are messaging me saying they've experienced the same things. They've experienced similar things. They have an invisible illness. They have POTS. They have, you know, they can relate to it. And they're like, I'm so glad to see someone finally put this message out there, because most people just ignore it. And like, getting that outreach from people who have been like, thank you for saying this, I'm like, oh, like, that's really meaningful to me, that it's like affected people in a positive way, that are going through the same things, and people are sharing their stories of when people say not the nicest comments to them. Like, the person that said it to me quickly followed it with like, oh, I'm joking, which like is another issue in itself. Like, mm-hmm. My illness is not something to joke about, which unfortunately there have been a lot of negative comments from people that are like, oh, it's just a joke, can't take a joke. I kind of had to stop reading the comments, because unfortunately, like, there's so many positive messages, but there's also a lot of negative messages too, which I guess that's just the way social media works. Mm-hmm. You're always going to get negative reactions from people. But a lot of people have been saying that, you know, people who park in a handicapped parking spot and walk out of their car, like I do, people don't get that I can't walk long distances, or these other people can't walk long distances, and they are quick to judge, like, oh, you must have taken that handicap pass from someone, or don't use that spot if you don't need it. And it's like, a lot of people have been saying things like that and starting up this even bigger conversation than what I had ever intended it to be. And that's really, I think, the best thing that's come out of it is people are speaking up and sharing their stories. Mm-hmm. Seeing that this is a really big thing that's affecting so many people, and it's crazy. Like, I never intended this.
Well, here's what I see as the best part of this. So illnesses can happen to anybody, and right. When you go to a park and you see someone who is. You know, 60s, 70s, 80s, and they're in a ECV, you're not going to bat an eyeball. It wouldn't even affect you. Or if you see someone that's clearly has, you know, a broken leg or something, it wouldn't even bat an eyeball. But illnesses can happen at any age, and here you are, and this is probably what, like, the crux of the whole situation is. You do not look like you have an illness. As a matter of fact, I mean, you've dressed perfectly for the day. You're ready to be at Epcot. You're ready to be at Galaxy's Edge, right? You have no apparent illness or injury. And then people, without actually comprehending that illnesses can be invisible, you know, just spout off, which is like, it's almost kind of like, and this is not going to become like a downturn of the conversation, like just like society in general is like, people are just too open with their thoughts without thinking. They don't think before they speak. But like, the point of it is that if you're 25, if you're 35, if you're 65, you could have something. You might have an issue that no one else knows about. Right. And what gives you the right? I mean, if you and I are friends and we're going through the park and we already have an established relationship, that's a different story. That it's not even a story. It's just two friends, you know, just joking and having fun. But if you don't know a person, then good heavens, like, the world and society, and especially social media, where everyone is keyboard brave.
Yes.
Like, you don't understand the power your quick, flippant words and comments have on people. And, like, that's, like, the point of it is, before you speak, think. You know, do you think that this girl is going to cart around a wheelchair just for the express purpose of getting up or getting a little closer to the stage, never mind the inconvenience factor for her having to get it out of her car and her friend for pushing it or her for wheeling it around? Yeah, the whole idea she had today was she was going to get a little closer to the stage, never mind the all the other inconveniences of that wheelchair, you know? So, like, the best part about this whole thing was, look, it can be anybody for any given reason. It could be a 17-year-old, you know, with leukemia, you know, or just having a stem cell transplant. You don't know that. So, like, your comments, your sarcasm, your humor, not only is it, like, I know it wasn't delivered with malicious intent.
Right.
But it was delivered with ignorance.
Exactly.
Which is, like, almost worse. It's like, you can't be that dumb. Can you be that dumb? You know, let's switch spots here. How would you feel in this situation?
Right.
So it went crazy. So, like, it got picked up the next day. And, you know, you and I are friends. And so I was following along. I made a comment. And then, you know, one of my buddies right after me ended up making a comment. And I looked the next day. And he had, like 1,500 likes on his comment. And I was like, hang on. I think my Facebook's kind of screwed up today. And then I go and see your story's picked up by the Metro in the UK and then shared, like, in publications, which the amount of, like, exposure you've given to, like, invisible illness at any age.
Right.
Like, Kristen, like, at the end of the year, no matter what you did with, like, your books, like, this is, like, the unexpected, like, best part of your year, you know? And people are going to comment. You got trolls everywhere, you know? Heck with those trolls, you know? But...
And that was, like, I got a lot of comments, like, oh, she just wanted to get to the front of the line in the parks. And I'm like, I can't even ride rides. So, like, that's not an issue. Like you said, you're always going to have people that are going to complain about it. You know, people are like, the worst one was someone's like, oh, she probably doesn't even need a wheelchair because she's just trying to promote her book. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. But, like you said, like, it's... People are going to say negative things always, but it's bringing these invisible illnesses to light that, like, most people, if you don't have an invisible illness or you don't know someone with an invisible illness, you probably don't know that much about one.
Yeah.
I know before, I mean, I can even say before it affected my life, like, I knew they existed, but I didn't fully understand them. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Think about the hurdles and hassles of, like, every day. And here you're still very active and you're out. But, like, yeah, she to get in front of rides. People, she literally wakes up. She has to load the wheelchair in whatever vehicle, unload it. I mean, think of, like, the inconvenience of doing that. Like, nobody wants to do that, to get in the front of... Nobody wants to do that. I can guarantee you that Kristen right now would love to not ever, you know, be in a wheelchair ever again in her life, you know?
And, like, this is so bad because one of my friends always has to, like,
push me
to the park.
Oh.
It's no fun. Like...
Yeah, yeah.
No one wants to do that, especially Disney. It's very hard to maneuver through the crowds.
So let me give you my one last thought on this incident, and then we'll I mentioned it earlier. So I'm not defending that woman by any means, but this is what I will say. You know, if you follow Kristen, if you're a fan of her books, or you know, she's just the sweetest person, you follow her on social media, and I mentioned this earlier, and this is the truth. Like, when you catch me in a good smile at Walt Disney World, like, posing with my kids, it would be the one picture out of, like, 1,500, okay? If you follow Kristen, like, every picture looks like you have a photo pass photographer and it's staged. And meaning they're really good. Like, that's, like, I always enjoy seeing your pictures because I know it's like, okay, that's a well thought out picture. You're in a good set. You're in a good setting. You know, but like for me, it doesn't work like that. Maybe that's why the woman was thinking that. It was like, wait a minute. There is no way this girl who is dressed like this, and I'm not defending her, but like that must be what she must be thinking. And again, that's only out of ignorance, not definitely out of, you know, experience and knowledge that she would think that. So, again, definitely not apologizing or making an excuse for her, but, you know, a little insight into just a cavalier, ignorant comment, you know?
Right, and, like, honestly, I wasn't really, like, mad at the person. I wasn't, like, oh, how could they possibly say something like that to me? Because I understand that most people, if it hasn't affected your life, you don't understand that people who look perfectly healthy could have something going on. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't like, you know, I never wanted to like, oh, this person was awful to me, because, you know, they did say it in a jokingly manner, which again comes more from the ignorance than any malicious intent. And I don't like hold that against them, or like, even if someone had said something to me more negatively, mm-hmm. So I still would not take it as, oh my gosh, this is just a horrible person. Like, no, it's just a person who doesn't understand what this is and what this means. And that's kind of what inspired me to write it, was not like wanting, not me being like, oh, I want to bash this person, this was an awful experience, more just, this is something that happened, and I kind of want to just bring this kind of topic to light. That it was not a malicious thing. It was not meant to be mean. But it kind of opened up a broader conversation where people were experiencing things that, you know, maybe it was said to them in a very mean way, or maybe someone said it to them in a joke as well. So it's definitely bringing in that more understanding is what's needed, not anything else.
You're a better person than me, because I would think over time, I would think that I would become so quick on the draw that when someone would say something, it'd be like a hurricane of like action back at them, you know? And then they'd be like, oh man, I shouldn't have said anything. So you're a better person than me, but I'd like to see that one time where you just it's just quick, right? That's it, you know? But whatever.
No, I think that's just part of living with an invisible illness, is you just kind of, unfortunately, you kind of just get used to things. Mm,
that's a sad statement, you know, that you have to get used to living like that and with that, you know? Right. So, and you don't owe anybody, you don't have to put a sign on your wheelchair, yes, I have POTS, yes, I do need this, you know? Like it's none of your business, dude. So, right. I guess at the end of the day, I guess here's like the one comment I would make is like, everyone is fighting a battle. The battle could be with their spouse. It could be with money. It could be with their health, with their friends. Everyone's fighting a battle. That woman, that I don't know if it's a woman, that person who made a comment, I guarantee they're fighting a battle that you have no idea about. Exactly. And it's a matter of whether you are going to make a comment, or, you know what, you're just respectful enough to, you know, notice it and you don't say anything. And I think that was part of like the comments, is the world just needs to be a little kinder, and it needs to be a little more understanding and forgiving, and not so quick to make comments without thinking about them. That's at least, you know, what I'm pulling from it.
That's the biggest thing, is, and that was really, really the only message that I wanted to share, was just for people to, you know, even if you don't think it might be hurtful, like, just kind of think about your words before you say them.
Well, you shared it, sister. That's for sure.
Which I still am like, I am still in disbelief over this. I didn't expect this. It was not my intention.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Let's get off this, though. Galaxy's Edge, what was your thought?
Oh my gosh, it was a dream.
Why?
Okay, Star Wars, like, I've been obsessed with Star Wars since I was, like, in preschool. Like, I have a picture of me pre-K, all the other girls are like fairies and like ballerinas, and then here comes Kristen, like full-on Queen Amidala.
Awesome.
I love Star Wars. So going into Galaxy's Edge was like, a dream come true.
Did it meet your like your thought of how it could be filled out, like as far as sounds and sights and smells? Did it meet your expectations?
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, everywhere you look, the land is so detailed. You know, the cast members are absolutely incredible. Everyone is in theme. You are fully immersed into a story. Like the signs are all written in Arabic, which is the Star Wars language. Like the droids everywhere, the characters just roaming around. I loved Oga's Cantina. Mm-hmm. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the land because you were in the story. Like you were sitting there in a cantina just like you would be in a Star Wars movie. With the music going and the cast is so into it. Like just everything about the land was just perfect in my opinion.
So a lot of Disney vloggers and bloggers and podcasters and people that are part of the Disney community have been there. And I almost want to say universally, they've echoed the same sentiments and they wished it was filled out more with more attractions and they're coming. But as far as meeting expectations, it was like, oh, like I didn't see a lot of anything bad other than just the immense wait, you know, once they opened it up to the general public as opposed to the APs. Like it met everyone's expectations, which is huge because in the Disney fan community, like people love to be hypercritical of Disney, you know, so you can't win if you're too crowded. You can't win if you're not crowded. You can't win anywhere. But they were the return on it was fabulous. You know, it was great. The theming was great.
Oh, I know. The theming is the best part about the land, which really attests to the cast members that work there. Because they're the ones that are bringing that theme to life.
They have set greetings, right? And set things they can answer to.
And, oh, yeah.
Right? Okay.
It definitely reminded me, back in college, I worked at Universal, the other park, in Diagon Alley.
I'm a lover. It's okay. I'm a lover of it. They have great parks. I'm a lover of them.
They do. I love them. Mm-hmm. And it was very similar to that, where we had specific things that we could talk about, things that we could say. And so being in Galaxy's Edge kind of reminded me, it has a very similar feel of you are in a story right now. You are not in a theme park.
Okay.
Which I think is very much similar to Wizarding World and Galaxy's Edge, where you are just in a story.
Would you say, is this your favorite land right now? Or is there another land at Walt Disney World that tops it?
Ooh, it's probably my favorite right now.
Okay.
Because, I mean, just loving Star Wars as much as I do, it's, you can't beat it. Like, it's incredible.
Okay, let's discount then Galaxy's Edge.
Okay.
What would be your favorite land? Now, consider all the parks. Where's your favorite place to hang out?
Ooh. That's tough.
For me, it's Adventureland. Adventureland has the right combination of feel, music, attractions, theming. It just grabs like that vibe better than any other place, at least.
I would probably say Main Street.
Okay.
Of Magic Kingdom.
Really interesting. Why? Why is that? Other than like the music and like the windows, what is it about there?
It's the charm of Main Street. Mm. Like, I could sit on Main Street all day. It was the same back when, before Galaxy's Edge, when Hollywood Studios had Streets of America.
Okay.
I love those, like, I don't know. To me, that just feels like you're back in time when Disney was first imagined. Like, and sitting on Main Street, like, listening to the Dapper Dans, or, like, watching the trolley show, or just sitting there eating an ice cream.
Kristen, like, there's a book in this for you. There's a book here. Because as I talked to you in this conversation, I realized if that's the land that speaks to you most, there's not one attraction, really, in that land. So, like, the way you tour parks, that's completely different than everybody else.
It is, because I can ride things like the Peter Pan ride or, you know, the It's a Small World, but yeah. I can't ride anything pretty much past that.
Gotcha.
So when I go to Disney, it's to watch shows and to experience the lands and to eat, mostly to eat. So it is, it's a very different experience. Like, I don't go for the rides, which is very different than most people.
Ooh, now you've got me thinking. So now you're going to receive texts from me constantly about this book idea. There is a book on the way you tour Walt Disney World that is completely different than everybody else.
It's very true.
Awesome. Well, you know what? And we did have a show before where we kind of matched up different lands. And Main Street, Scott Gerke, who's a friend of mine, discussed Main Street, and he spoke about it so eloquently that at the end of it, I was like, yeah, you win, because I never quite thought about Main Street outside of being, that's like where your heart first like yells out that you're in, you know, the Magic Kingdom, because you see Main Street, and that's where like your heart, you know, it sheds a tear as you leave, because, well, that's the ending of Magic Kingdom for you for that day.
I just remember back in the day when I worked for Disney years ago now, I remember standing on Main Street and they gave us this talk about, like, you know, Walt Disney's name is on your name tag. So, like, make sure you're always representing him. And I just remember, like, standing on Main Street and, like, you hear the train going by and my traditions teacher is telling me that. And I'm just, like, bawling.
you get the goosebumps on your arm. Like, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Give me an attraction then. What would be your attraction in Walt Disney World? Not necessarily Magic Kingdom, but what is the one that you're going there just for that reason?
Ooh, another tough question. Okay, you'll probably laugh at me, but my favorite attraction is the Carousel of Progress.
I'm not laughing at you. I did a special with my buddy Tim Van Swole, the same Tim who commented on your post. We did a whole like 45-minute special on it. It's one of our favorites. Absolutely.
It's so great. Like, last Halloween, was it last Halloween? Yeah, my parents and I, for Mickey's Not So Scary, dressed up as the characters from the carousel.
I know, your dad did a great job. I remember seeing your dad kind of having to like almost like scratch my head, be like, what is that? Holy cow, that's her dad. He looks great.
I love it. It's so, like, it's just one of those classics that never gets old. My graduation cap from college said there's a great big beautiful tomorrow on it.
Did it have the gear shape on it too as well?
It did not. Okay. I was not clever back then.
All right. So then you were at Epcot. What is it about Epcot? What attraction there? Because I know Epcot's always like either number one or number two in people's minds of their favorite parks. Ooh, there's a question. Give me your park. Which one is it?
Hollywood Studios.
Oh my gosh. It wasn't Epcot or Magic Kingdom. It was the studios.
Epcot is actually my least favorite park.
Oh, wow. So I was completely off in the conversation. Okay, well, let's jump then. Why Hollywood Studios? I would never suspect that.
So for me, it comes from working at Disney. Hollywood Studios was my home park back when I was a PhotoPass photographer. And I have such...
I mean, besides Galaxy's Edge, of course. You know,
obviously. Of course. Like, regardless of Galaxy's Edge being there or not. I just love the feeling of Hollywood Studios. Like, I love that classic Hollywood vibe. I love that everyone is more relaxed at Hollywood Studios. Like, I feel like when you're at Magic Kingdom, it's, okay, we've got fast passes here and dinner here. We got to run here and here and here and here. But when you're at Hollywood Studios, I mean, obviously this changed a little bit since Star Wars, but you're just kind of like, oh, there's like six rides here and like a couple shows. So let's just chill and go through our day. Huh. And love that.
Well, you know, when we were talking, I discounted the importance of Galaxy's Edge in the studios for you, but I knew it was important. But, like, when you spoke that so clearly, it wasn't just because it was recently inflated by Galaxy's Edge. That's a great point. And especially the way, like I say, you tour parks, you are designed to go slower through the day and relax and absorb more. So right. That park's that is designed like that. If you rush through there, you could finish it in 6 hours and leave, but like, no, you want to relax and take it in.
Exactly. And I love the shows out there, and I love that it's a small little park, or smaller than the others, and it's, for me, it's just home.
Okay.
From working there, like, it's just my home. I love it.
Well, it's gotten so much love recently, especially with, you know, Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land and whatnot. Right. But, well, let's talk about this Epcot issue here. What's going on there? I mean, I got to know about that. Number four. No, it's not number four on anybody's list. What happened there?
For me, okay, well, let's see. Epcot.
You're going to make a lot of enemies here. I we've been doing good so far. I just want you to know that.
Honestly, a big part of why I'm not the biggest fan of Epcot is, for me, it is the hardest park to get around.
Oh.
There are a lot of hills and ramps at Epcot, which I always feel terrible for my friends who have to push me up them, like, especially going through World Showcase.
Okay.
And I don't know, like, I mean, I enjoy Epcot. I always like going out there. But for me, there's not a lot to do. Like, I can't ride Mission Space or Test Track, but I also, my diet's pretty restricted. Like, I can't have gluten. I'm not supposed to have a lot of sugar. I'm not supposed to drink a lot of alcohol, which are kind of the reasons why you go to Epcot.
There you go. Okay, that makes complete sense to me now.
So it's more of just, I feel more limited at Epcot. However, I did enjoy Food and Wine. They did have a lot of great gluten-free options at the kiosks. But you're definitely, there's a lot more limitations there than, would say, the other parks.
That makes sense. And you ought to get credit just for trying to go to Food and Wine with seeing everything is bent towards sweets and alcohol, yep. Right?
Yep.
Nope. Pass. Okay, I'll take that, you know? Okay.
Yeah, I could have, like, a adult beverage at Food and Wine, but no more than that. Whereas, you know, I go with my friends, they're like, oh, I want to try this and this and this and this and this, and I'm like, okay, I've got my one glass of wine, and I got my little food sample here, and I'm good, thank you.
Yeah. So I let me ask you this question too. As far as, you mentioned hard to get around, you feel bad for your friends, have you ever considered, not necessarily even renting, but like owning like a smaller version of like an ECV?
I have, and unfortunately, it kind of comes down to, and a lot of people on the post, going back to that, have commented the same thing, where they're like, I already get the looks in a wheelchair. Mm. I feel, and a lot of people have said, like, oh, being in an ECV is even worse. Mm. Because people, a lot, especially at my age, a lot of people just assume, oh, it's just some young kid who just wants to ride around on an ECV. And unfortunately, you do kind of have that, like, oh, I really don't want that, those looks. I really don't want the, like, issues. So it's a weird, like,
you,
a lot of
people, you almost have to suffer for their ignorance and go in the wheelchair then. That would make sense.
Well, and even a lot of people have commented, they're like, oh, I suffer through and don't use a wheelchair at all because I'm scared of moments like this. Hmm. And it's weird that's like, I mean, I've had the same thought process, so I totally understand it. But yeah, that's kind of been my thought on the thing.
Okay. That would make complete sense to me. I guess I was only looking at it in a superficial way.
Right.
And for sure, you would be like a giant neon arrow as they see, you know, you driving around in the ECV. I could imagine the eyebrows that would be raised at that. Okay. So before we go, if people wanted to go and look in your book or buy your books, what's the best way to go and at least, you know, take a look at them?
I have a website, which is KristenWalbeserBooks.com. They're on Amazon, which have great descriptions on each of the books. Honestly, if you just search my name on Amazon, they pop up right away. Or if you search the title of the books as well, they would definitely pop up. Those are probably the best ways to, like, read the descriptions about the book. I know on Amazon, they have that look inside feature, so you can look inside the books. Those are probably the best two ways to get a feel for the books and learn more about them.
KristenWalbeser, and then Waldbeezer is WALD B-I-E-S-E-R. So when we first started, I was trying to search your name. And of course, because I'm from Chicago and we pronounce about every third vowel correctly here, I couldn't quite spell it. So W-A-L-D-B-I-E-S-E-R.
That's the one. It's a weird one.
It is a weird one. Okay, so if people had any questions for you, how could they get a hold of you, or how could they find you easiest?
Easiest would probably be through social media, either Instagram or Facebook. Both are Kristen Walbeiser Books. I've always prided myself on being so like, oh, I respond to everyone's message. So I might be a little slow at responding right now.
Right now, temporarily.
Temporarily, there might be a little slower at responding just because I've gotten so many wonderful stories from people sharing their experiences with me. But definitely Facebook or Instagram would be the easiest places to get a hold of me.
Okay. So before we leave, let me just finish with one statement and then we'll close for today. So if you guys are commenting, and not even for Kristen's sake, so remember, social media, there's a lot of good in social media. Yeah. Heck, you and I have been able to, you know, talk and become good friends. There's a lot of good. There's also a lot of bad on social media. So, you know what? At any given day, you know, be the good in someone's life and think about what you're trying to say and realize that person's got an uphill struggle of some kind. So, So when you're giving that quick jab or that sarcastic comment or that, you know, poke at somebody, realize the person on the other end is a real person and they're going to see it, you know? Exactly. So that is going to affect them at some point in the day. Yeah,
right.
She's not fake. She's not a fake person. She's going to see that and realize you have no, like, does your light shine brighter because you're trying to go and put someone else's light out? Like, that's an awful reason to, like, have motivation for anything. So, so don't do it, all right? Don't be that guy or girl. Don't do it. Make someone else's light shine brighter.
Exactly. I like that.
Anyways, so for my friend Kristen and for myself, oh, hang on, before we go, join our Facebook group. It's EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. It's a private Facebook group for our listeners, and it's only private because, frankly, we just wanted to make sure that, you know, if you requested to join, that you were a Disney fan, that's all, as opposed to today I had some weird spam account try to accept it was weird. So join EDCOT. Kristen's in EDCOT and she communicates frequently there as well, so we are good friends. E-D-C-O-T. And if you could give us a review and a rating on your podcast provider of choice, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Stitcher, please do so. It does help us. So, for my friend Kristen, for Kristen's Princess Audrey, for the Stories for the Magic Kingdom, for Princess Audrey Saves the Prince, for all of us, we'd like to thank you and have a great day.
Thank you.
How this has impacted your life, but it's not going to let you. And then all of a sudden I come back like the next day and I see a comment and I was like, hang on. I was like rubbing my eyes. Did I see that number right? Like, and like people like liking comments, like 1,500. What is this? It was crazy.
That's honestly exactly how I felt too. Like, you know, I share stuff about POTS all the time, about disabilities all the time. And for me, this was just another... Oh, why is my computer playing Frozen?
That's a morning wake-up call. Okay.
Well, you know, I've been watching movies on my laptop.
I'm going to probably put that in the show, just so you know. Okay, very good.